This morning we want to go on with our message, and it's entitled Press Past. Press Past. Our theme this year is the press on. We are pressing on, and we, in the last number of weeks, have talked about pressing in. We talked last week about pressing through, and what we want to share this morning is to press past. Press past. Sometimes you go through something, but you're out, you're through, but you never press past it. And we want to talk about that today. And how do we press forward even after going through difficult situations? Going to use the scripture as our background thought today from Daniel 3 and verse 27. In this portion of scripture, the story is told of how Israel was captured by Babylon, taken to Babylon. Fine young men were taken. Daniel was one of them. And three young Hebrew men, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, you've probably heard about them. These were ones that went. Nebuchadnezzar, who was the king, built this image, and he made this edict that when the music played, everyone had to bow down and worship this image. And when the music played, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not bow down, reported to Nebuchadnezzar. He called them in. He said, listen, if you don't bow down, I'm going to throw you into the furnace. And their response was very admirable. And I hope it would be the response of our young people. They said, you know what, King? Our God is able to deliver us from this furnace of fire, but it doesn't matter whether he delivers us or not. We're not going to bow down. They had such a determination in their heart to serve God. Well, the king became angry, as you can read the story. Heated the furnace hotter and hotter. Had men throw the three young men into the fire. It said that the fire was so hot that the men that threw them into the fire were overcome and they died just throwing these three young men into the furnace. But something happened. They were walking around in the furnace. Nebuchadnezzar sees it and he said, how many people did we throw in the furnace? And they said, three. He said, well, how come I see four? He said, and the fourth one is like to the Son of God. And I didn't realize we sang that song today. I wasn't knowing that the group was going to sing that song, that there's a grace when the heart is under fire. And there's another in the fire standing next to me. That's taken from this portion of scripture. These young men came through the fiery furnace. They pressed through the fiery furnace. Now I want to pick up in verse 27 what happened then. Then the high officers, officials, governors, and the advisors crowded around them and saw that the fire had not touched them. Not a hair on their heads were singed, and their clothing was not scorched. They didn't even smell of smoke. Powerful, powerful testimony. Here's the first point of our message. It is possible to go through harrowing circumstances and come out whole, but still with the smell of smoke. These three young men could have gone through this whole experience, come out not burned, clothing not scorched, hair not singed, but you know what? You would have said, they've been through the fire. They could have come out with the smell of smoke. The smell of smoke did not defeat them. They could have come out with the smell of smoke and still been victorious. They would have pressed through the difficulty, the fiery trial. And doesn't the scripture say, think it not strange when fiery trials come our way? So we are to press through them, But I want to share this thought with you this morning. God wants us to come out through those trials without the smell of smoke. That you've gone through it, but you have pressed into God so much that you pressed past the situation that the smell of smoke isn't upon you. You see, we can go through hard times and it not affect us physically. I mean, you've come through intact. You haven't changed your position. You're still following God. You're still attending church. You're still being where God wants you to be. Your physical being is not affected. And your soul isn't affected. Your soul is that heart for God. And you can go through situations and you come out and your heart is still after God. You still want to serve Him. You still want to be all that God wants you to be. And so that sort of body and soul. So let me ask you, what is the smell of smoke? I would suggest to you this morning that the smell of smoke is when your spirit is tainted. Your spirit has become affected. It just carries a little bit of the odor of the circumstance you've been through. That's not sin. It's not something that others would even notice. They might look at you after you come through a very difficult trial, and they would applaud you, say, "You know what? I'm amazed you came through that. I look at you. It hasn't affected you. Your hair's not even singed. Your clothes aren't scorched. You know, I'm just so proud of you coming through that." But you could do all that, and your spirit still be tainted a little bit. That there is a smell of smoke upon you. Spirit, your spirit is affected. You know, in the Bible, the word for spirit is the same word as breath. When God breathed into him, the mankind, he breathed the spirit. The spirit is the breath of God. You ever been in a restaurant? You eat something with garlic, you've enjoyed it so much. And you've enjoyed that experience. So you go and you brush your teeth and sort of put mouthwash in because you know you're going to be meeting people and you don't want them to smell your breath. And so you meet people. They don't know. They wouldn't even know you've been in the restaurant. You greet people, talk to people. But until you get home, and you meet your spouse, and you go to give your spouse a kiss, and your spouse says, "You've been eating garlic." Well, how'd you know? I smell it on your breath. That's what I'm talking about. This is a very subtle thing. It's not something that's so obvious. A lot of people wouldn't pick up on it. But when you move into a more intimate relationship, and you're dealing with things on a real heart issue, then sometimes the smell of smoke becomes an issue that has to be dealt with. It's not right and wrong. It's not that you're clean or not clean. You know, it reminds me of how many times have you put a load in the washing machine, goes through its cycle, the clothes are all clean. They were dirty when you put them in, but they're clean now. But you forget and you leave it overnight. And you don't see it till the next day and that evening. And you go, "Oh," and you take those clean clothes out. But now there's an odor about them. It's not that they were dirty. No, they're clean. They just came through the wash. But somehow in the neglect of dealing with the laundry in the way proper way and the proper timing, getting that load out and putting it into the dryer, something's happened. The clothes become tainted. And you know you can't live with that. And you say, "You know what? I've seen Kay say, I got to put that through the wash again. We got to put it through the cycle again. This time I'll get it out and I'll get it into the dryer." We all know what that is. I tell you, and it's a terrible smell. If you've ever clean clothes that are left neglected, not dealt with, can begin to have an odor. So I'm trying to sort of paint this picture for us today, what I'm talking about, the smell of smoke, how it would relate to us today. I'm saying today, we can go through tough times, go through hard experiences. You might come through it whole. You're intact. Your heart's still for God. You're clean. It's not like there's some evil in you. But now, because you didn't deal with your spirit, the spirit has picked up a taint and an odor of the relationship or the experience you just went through that's going to hinder you going forward. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 1 says, "Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." We know what sins of the flesh are. They're obvious. They're the dirty clothes. They are things that we need to be cleansed of. People can see it. They see it in our life. They see the evil. They see the sins we've conducted. And a lot of sins of the flesh. And they do need to be dealt with. But the Bible says that we should be cleansed not just of the sins of the flesh, but the sins of the spirit. Our spirit can be affected by things that are not obvious to others, but they do have an effect upon us. So I want to talk to us about pressing not just through experiences and difficulties, tribulations, but to press through and then press past all of the odors and the smell of smoke that come upon us because of what we've been through. I was trying to think of how to speak about this. And when I was thinking about it, I thought, you know what? Our spirit just isn't quite as open as it would be. You know, our spirit is to be open to other people because God's spirit works through our spirit to other people's spirit. But sometimes when the spirit is tainted, we just become a little guarded. You know, we're supposed to have an open heart and an open spirit, but we're just a little guarded. There's just a little bit of a slight scent of suspicion about everything we meet. Because, you know what? I've been here before. I was at this place before, and it led me into this circumstance. And so now I'm just a little reluctant to get involved. You still have a smell of smoke about your spirit. And it's like there's a guard on the door of your heart. The door's open because we haven't closed our heart. It's just that there's a silent guard there that just begins to be very leery of everything that you begin to face. That's, to me, the smell of smoke. We protect ourselves. And as a result, we lack a sensitivity in our heart. Our heart needs to be open, but our heart becomes insulated. You know, there's a coating around our heart that it just makes it not as sensitive. Now, this coating is not thick. I mean, we would know it if it was thick. It's just like a slight film. It's like a gauzy membrane around our life. Translucent, you can see through it. But it just dulls the sensitivity. I would normally be more sensitive. I would be more open in the past. But now, because of what I've been through, I'm just slightly not as sensitive as I've been in the past. Our vision. Seeing things, seeing what God wants us to do, seeing God's perspective on things. There's a slight haze over it. Because my spirit isn't quite as pure. It's got this smell of smoke upon it. I've picked something up through the experience I've been through. And unbeknownst to me many times, I don't know it. It's like your best friends tell you when you have bad breath. Many times we don't even know we have bad breath. We just wonder why people are sort of shunning us a little bit. And most people don't tell you if you have bad breath, but your friends will tell you. And so it is in the spirit. Sometimes we don't even know that we have this aroma around us because it's very faint. It's not overpowering. It just is there. And it's affected our sensitivity. It's affected my vision. My openness. There's a little residue of pride in our life sometimes. Oh, this pride isn't so hard and strong. It's just like a little film of pride. It's just a little film of soot. It's like little specks You know, it's just little specks of pride that's in our life. And it sort of comes in this way. You know, you're sort of proud that you came through it. You know what? That was a tough time, but you know, I persevered and I came through it. You know, a weaker person couldn't do that. But I thank the Lord I was able to come through it. It's not an overpowering thing. It's just a little taint of pride that affects our life. But you know, God resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. So I'm not aware of it even. But all of this has affected my spirit so that I can't be all that God wants me to be because I went through this thing, and you did come through it, and you came through victorious. You've come out the other side, but now there's just a little bit of aroma. There's a tainting of your spirit. There's a smell of smoke in your life. I just wrote down these things as they came to mind. We're just a little more tentative than we would be in the past. We're not quite as decisive. We're more reluctant to do something. We normally would just jump in, but now, and I don't even know why. I can't explain it. I just don't have the same enthusiasm for something. I'm not quite as bold as the past. Something comes up, and you know what? I'm a little more suspicious. I'm a little skeptical. I hear a good thing, but now it's tainted with this smoke that I'm just not quite as excited. I'm a little skeptical, but it's very fine. No one else would even know it's there. But it is there. Your life is camouflaged. You're not quite as genuine. You have this mask that's very, it's so thin that most people don't even know you're wearing a mask, but it's still there. And you're not just quite as genuine and honest as you've been before, because I've been through this trial, this temptation, this fiery trial. I've come through it, but there's something that's lingering. And the last thing, I didn't know how to word it other than you lose your sparkle. You ever meet people and there's a sparkle in their eyes? I mean, it's intangible. How do you tell whether someone has a sparkle in their eye? Like, you know it when you see it. I mean, they're excited, they're enthusiastic. When they talk, their eyes sparkle. But then someone else could say the exact same thing, the same words, and have the same emphasis, and have the same meaning, but it's just sort of bland. It just lacks the fizz, as it were. You know, you can analyze it, everything's there, but where's the fizz? Where's the sparkle? See, these are subtle things. This message is digging deep in our life. This message is not for the immature. This is a hard message to understand and to grasp and see the importance of. Because to the unobservant eye, everything's fine. I've come through this. Hey, look, my body's fine. Hair's not singed. Clothing isn't scorched. You know, no splotches on me. But there's just an air that's there in your spirit that we need to deal with and press past it and cleanse our spirit so we come out the other side with a sparkle about us. Well, how do we do that? How do you cleanse yourself? The next point was the smell of smoke limits our love. And really, love is the antidote to this odor. We have to experience the love of God. I don't know in the fire why the fourth person was there. I mean, God could perform the miracle without showing himself. But it was almost like there was a showing of himself in the fire, that the person had a sense of his presence, a sense of his love, that I'm not here alone. God is with me. This is not something that's happened to me by chance that I'm now praying God will be aware. No, he's with me. He's walking with me. There's a sensitivity. And it's almost like I sort of feel like as the three Hebrew men were called out, like that fourth person in the fire was just sort of cleansing them as they went out, just taking away the smell of smoke. Yeah, you're fine. You're going to get out of here. But let me just take the smell of smoke off you. Let me let you. I want you to realize I love you. I care for you. Nothing's gone amiss. Nothing is lost here. I just want to take the smell of smoke off of you. I don't know all the significance of it, but they came out without the smell of smoke. Here's what 1 Corinthians 13 says. Love suffers long. Wow. I don't like that. Don't like that. Love suffers long. Now, you could suffer long and say that's okay. I came through it. But then there's this little phrase, and is kind. You know, are you able to be kind when you're suffering long? So you could suffer long and endure it. But you know, you might even say the same words, but it lacks a kindness. It lacks a sparkle. It lacks a clarity. You're suffering long, but it's almost like everyone can smell that you're suffering long. It's like the Pharisees, when they were fasting, they would tear their clothes, put ashes all over their body to show that they were fasting. And the Lord said, when you fast, don't do that. Just fast to me. You don't have to put on. And so, but we all, listen, we're just human. We react to things. And when we're suffering long, it's not easy to be kind. Are you kind to telemarketers that interrupt your supper? Or are you rude on the phone? And I have a right to be rude because I have to suffer this phone call every supper time. Are you still kind? Are you kind to a rude clerk? Ah, we're getting down to where we live here. I want us to be able to go through experiences without the smell of smoke. I want us to come out with a pure heart and a pure spirit, that it doesn't matter what I've been through, I am still genuine and the love of God is in my heart. And it just simply starts off, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. Love never fails. I read the same verse 5 in the New Living Version. Listen to what it says here. Love never thinks of itself. Love does not get angry. Love does not remember the suffering that comes from being hurt by someone. See, you could have been hurt by someone, and you came through it. You had dealt with it right. You tried to handle it right. You got prayer. You were doing all the things right. And you came through it. But you remember it. The remembering is like the smell of smoke. I'll never get myself in that situation again. So all this that we talked about, not quite as open, not quite as... isn't as enthusiastic. I just don't leap into things like I used to. I'm a little more skeptical now, a little cynical. Oh, just a bit. No one would even know. You know it, though. Sometimes we don't even know it, but God knows it. It's affected you. And it hinders you from being all that God wants you to be. Because you're remembering. Another version, and you've read and heard this, it says, love keeps no account of wrong. Do you have an account book? you ever write down all the things that's been done wrong to you? I remember one time a couple coming in to see me for counseling, and really, the individual had a list of all the things that had been done wrong to them. And they meant well. They were trying to, I'm going to show you what I'm dealing with here. But, you know, the Bible says it doesn't keep account of wrongs. It's natural to, normal to. But if you remember it, it's affecting you. No, I don't mean you expunge it from your memory that I can't remember. It means that you don't allow it to affect your future actions. Because God was with me through that trial. He had a reason for me to go through that trial. I was benefited by going through the trial. I acted right, and so the other person was benefited by my reactions in it. And so why would I let that affect the next time? It's like, okay, here we go again. You're excited about being used of God because you haven't thought about yourself. The focus was not on you. The focus was on what God wanted to do through you. There's a mindset that helps us, and it's simply this: to know that hurt people hurt people. Hurt people hurt people. When someone does something wrong and hurts you, it's usually because they've been through a hurt. They're reacting, they're suffering, they're dealing with it. They haven't dealt with it. They're still pushing through it. And so now that you've come in contact with them and you're getting the brunt of this. It's not about you. It's like the saying, you know, I've said many times about Cain and Abel. They had a problem. They had conflict. You could have sat Cain and Abel down and counseled them till you're blue in the face and it would not have helped them. Because Cain did not have a problem with Abel. He had a problem with God. And so many times our conflicts and our problems, we think it's the person here, so I'm going to kill him. Cain kills him. And God says to Cain, why are you angry? Why are you so angry? And I won't go into that whole story. It's another message. But I just want to illustrate to you how sometimes we get so focused on what we're going through that we don't recognize hurt people hurt people. There are smells and odors around sick people. Those of you that are nurses, you know, you walk into a room when there's someone that's sick, you can smell vomit sometimes. Sometimes they have dirtied their bed, and there's a smell of poop in the room. And sometimes when you're dealing with rancid sores, there's an odor about it. Listen, sick people have odors, and they're not pleasant to be around. But you have to come to the realization, I'm not here just to fellowship with this person. I'm here as a doctor, as a nurse, as a worker to help this person. Help them to heal. Help them to be better. I'm God's instrument in this situation. So you got to get your eyes off yourself and realize, what am I going through this situation for? So don't ignore the person. Here's the thing. We are to ignore the wrong, not the person. But we do it just the opposite. We're in a bad situation. I will ignore this person. I will cut them off. I will not let them be part of my life. I will ignore the person. And then we hold the wrong. Where we should just be the different. Ignore the wrong, love the person. But we ignore the person. We're holding the wrong, not just for a day. Some people do it for a week, for months. I've seen people holding grudges for years. This stench about them has got deeper and deeper into their spirit. They didn't deal with it. They they can always say, I was right. I was right. I was in the right. But they're the clean clothes in the washing machine. They're not dealing with it. They don't realize as they cling to their rightness, there's an odor developing around them because they're not dealing with it the way God wants us to deal with it. Well, this is a deep message, folks. And it's where we all live. It's just that many times we're oblivious to it. We have the bad breath, but no one has told us about it. And there is a spiritual odor about you that hinders. Maybe most people don't see it, but it's hindering you from being the healer. And just as a surgeon or a nurse that goes in to deal with sick people, they actually have to scrub and cleanse themselves and so that they don't pick up what's there. Don't pick up the spirit of people that you're ministering to. Because they're sick and they're hurt and they're spewing out all kinds of stuff. And we're not to return in kind. We're always to act in the best interest of other people. Act in the best interest of others. Your worth, value, self-esteem is in God, not in how other people treat you. But in immaturity, they said that and it hurts so bad. Well, why is it hurting so bad? Because you're believing what they said. You believe what they said is going to damage you in some way. You're not believing that God works all things together for good. You're not believing that no weapon formed against you will prosper. I am clinging to the hurt and I'm reacting to the hurt. And I'm thinking about myself. And your self-interest and value should be in what God says about you, not what other people say about you. We are to be skilled practitioners in restoring people. I mean, you are a doctor. You're God's representative. He's the great physician. He wants you to come into this world and have an effect. Listen to what it says in Galatians 6 and verse 1. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any sin, you who are spiritual. That is, you who are responsive to the guidance of the Spirit. You have a real sensitive spirit. You have a heart that's sensitive. It's not tainted. You that are spiritual, restore such a person in a spirit of gentleness, not with a sense of superiority or self-righteousness, keeping a watchful eye on yourself so that you are not tempted. Now, isn't this exactly what we've been talking about? Someone has missed the mark. Someone has done wrong. They've treated you wrong. And you're trying to deal with this situation. You've got to cleanse your heart first and your spirit. God, help me here. Have I caused this in any way? Have my attitudes caused? You cleanse that. If necessary, you ask for forgiveness from God and others. You cleanse your heart. Now you're able to go and restore in a spirit of gentleness. Keeping a sharp eye on yourself. I could pick up on what this person's saying. I could react to that. I don't want to react. I want to act. I want to be what God. I want to be sensitive to God's spirit. I want to say what he wants me to say. I don't want to just spiel off something that I just come back with because they've given me something and I'm going to come back with it. You're not responding in kind. You can't take personal offense when you're trying to help someone. This is 1 Peter 3 in verse 8 and 9. Finally, all of you, be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tender-hearted. Be courteous. Now here we're getting to it. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling. You know, they had an attitude, so I give an attitude back. They were sharp, I come back with a sharp retort. I'm not returning evil for evil, reviling for reviling. But what are we to do? On the contrary, going against your natural inclination, going against the grain of how you would normally respond, on the contrary, return blessing. Bless the person when they're spilling all this stuff on you. Well, it's not just here. The Bible tells us that we're to pray for those who spitefully use us. We're to love our enemies. We're to do good to those who hate us. I mean, we are to act as an agent of good in the world. The important thing is not the situation, but how you respond to the situation. I'm so concerned about what I'm going through. You are too. I don't like this. I don't like how they spoke to me. I don't like how that came down. I don't like that decision that was made. I am so involved in focusing on the situation. And sometimes I don't even think, how does God want me to respond in this situation? He's put me in this situation for a purpose. If I just return in the same way, I'm not making it better. I'm just digging the hole deeper. I gotta act differently, think differently. Now, isn't this exactly what the scripture says? It says in Matthew 5:14, "You are the light of the world. A city that set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house." When you move into a dark situation, darkness, evil, wrong, misjustice, I'm being hurt, I'm being reviled, you need to realize, I'm here for a purpose. I'm the light of the world. I'm to shine into this area. I'm to enlighten people. I need to show people the truth. I need to show people how to act. I'm not going to respond in the same way. I'm more concerned about how I respond to this than what I'm going through. I realize God's got me in this situation. He wants me to be a light. I've got an assignment here. You all have an assignment. We all have a mission. You're not here just to go through life and God's going to try to spare you of every wrong that's ever been done. No, he's here to allow you to interact in these situations, but then to respond according to how he wants you to respond, not in a natural tit for tat, back and forth, responding in kind. No, he wants us to change. Change the situation by bringing light to the matter. The story of what we call the Good Samaritan comes to mind here. And the fill-in in your notes is the Samaritan had an unaffected spirit. So you have to move into these situations and your spirit is pure. It's not polluted in any way. It's not tainted. There's no smell of smoke on my spirit. I'm just sensitive to God. I'm trusting God. I realize I'm on assignment here. I'm alert to every difficulty I go through, knowing this is order of the Lord. I don't think it's strange that I go through a fiery trial. You know, all these verses I've shared. I'm not thinking that way. No, I'm thinking differently. My mind's renewed. I'm in this world for a purpose. So what did the Good Samaritan do? Well, you know the story. The guy was beaten, robbed, left on the side of the road. The priest, who should have been the person that you'd think would do it, he just walks past. The Levite, who is in God's service, he walks by, sees the guy, but just keeps walking. But this Good Samaritan, he's called good, and here's why I think we call him good. His spirit was pure. Well, he wasn't, listen, he wasn't tainted with the prejudice of race, the prejudice of social status, the prejudice of religion. They had a different religion. He wasn't prejudiced by that. He had a pure spirit. And he sees the man in need. What does he do? We see the scripture here, Luke 10:34. So he went to him, bandaged his wounds, poured on oil and wine, and set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, took care of him. On the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, said to him, "Take care of him. Whatever more you spend, when I come, I will repay you." He didn't react to the situation. See, Jesus gave this parable, if you know the context. They asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" Because Jesus has said you should love your neighbor as yourself. So they said, well, who's my neighbor? And so Jesus tells this story showing that you're not just to help those that's in your own neighborhood. People like you. People that's in your same religion, same race, same social status. You know, he says, you know what? You don't determine who your neighbor is. You go through life and you come across someone, you be a neighbor to them. And that's how this Samaritan was. He just ministered to the man. And he poured in oil and wine. Now this is something to think about here. The first thing he didn't do was rub salt in the wounds. Now I want you to see this. Where does salt come from? Self-produced. It comes from our tears. The residue of our tears is salt. The residue of your tears of pain and anguish. If you're not cleansing yourself of your pain and anguish, it will build up salt. And it's on your hands. And everything you touch to help someone else, you're rubbing salt in the wound. You don't realize it. I'm trying to help. But the residue in your life is salt. And you're just making the matter worse. But what did this man do? He poured in wine and oil. The wine was an antiseptic that killed the infection and sterilized. The wine stung. Now this is what we need to see. It doesn't mean when you're dealing with people that there's never going to be a reaction. I'm sure when he poured the wine onto this wound, the man reacted. But it was a healing. It was for a purpose. And it was balanced with oil. Oil soothes. Takes away the pain. He poured in measures of oil and wine. No salt. Wine. Sometimes you have to speak truth to people, and it's not always easily received. I'm not saying we go through world life and never offend anyone. I mean, we can't do that, but we need to make sure our heart's pure and that we're doing this with commensurate measures of wine and oil. I'm speaking the truth, but I'm doing it in love. This person knows I care for them. They know it's not self-interest. They know I'm saying this out of love to them. And if you pour in wine and oil, it will heal the person. I can't stress these things enough. But see, what we do, we get a focus on ourselves, and this is what we say. I'm not going to take that anymore. That's all I can take. Well, you need to ask yourself, why are you taking it? Why are you picking it up? Why are you carrying this? This thing should be rolling off you. You're taking every hurt, every wrong, every reviling, every evil. You're holding it. You're like a fielder in baseball. Not one is going to get by you. You'll die for that ball. It's not going to get by me. That was a hurt. I know that was an offense. It was directed. It wasn't right at me, but I dove and I caught that. They meant that to hurt me, you know. And then, that's how we are in the spirit. We're so sensitive. Someone might say something or do something, or I might be neglected, and we're taking it all. And it builds up and builds up, and it's creating this odor about our life where we get to say, I'm not going to take that anymore. Rather than realize, it's not a cause. God's got me here for a reason. God has put me in this situation. I'm to show kindness. I'm to show forgiveness. I'm to be a light in this person's life. I'm going to show them how they should act. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to lay down my life for them. Wow. Have a pure, pure spirit about these matters. You need to deal with your spirit daily. You can't let it build up. Ephesians 4:26. Be angry, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your irritation. This is what I was just sharing about. you know, things are going to irritate you, but don't allow it to affect you. Just let it roll off of you. Realize I'm in this world. If they did it to Jesus, they're going to do it to me. I'm here for a purpose. There's a cause. There's a reason. Yeah, I'll gladly lay down my life for the Lord. This is how it's showing it today. And I'm just going to, I'm not going to carry it to the next day. Don't let the sun go down on your irritation, or it'll just build up. Matthew 6:34, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Just keep on loading. Let the love of God cleanse your spirit every day. Don't carry it to the next day. Well, I don't know what's going to happen. This is just going to go on and on and on. Well, you project it into the future. There's enough just for today. Just let it roll off today. Don't worry about tomorrow. God will give you grace tomorrow for whatever it brings. It's enough evil in today. You have to pick up the mission. It's not an impossible mission. It's not mission impossible, but it's really mission possible. He's got an assignment for you, if you should choose to accept it. Job accepted it. Joseph accepted his. Jesus accepted his. And they finished their work. And we read about it and we celebrate these people because they went through it. And they picked up the mission. They weren't so self-focused. Here's the last point. Seek a clean heart and a pure spirit. Seek a clean heart and a pure spirit. Psalm 139 says this, search me, O God, and know my heart, and know my thoughts. See if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You need to ask God, Lord, would you just put a spotlight on my heart? Put a magnifying over my heart, because there are some things that may be lodged there that I'm not aware of. There's some specks on my heart and my spirit that's affecting me, and I don't want it to be. Search my heart. Know my thoughts today, Lord. See if there's any wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin, from every attitude, from every wisp of smoke. Cleanse my heart, Lord, that I can be used of you. Would you stand with me this morning? There's a song we used to sing as I was growing up, and I've sung this song many times as a prayer to the Lord. Some of you will be familiar with it. It's a song that's entitled, Search Me, O Lord. Search Me, O Lord. And I just put the chorus in your notes. Search me, O God. Know my heart today. Try me, O Savior. Know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. I'd like to close the service and pray that the words of this song in our hearts and our lives. There's some verses here I didn't put in your notes, but some of you will be familiar with these verses. I'm going to read it to you, but I want to read it phrase by phrase, and I want you to pray it with me. Pray this song of look at my heart, Lord. See if there's any wicked in me. Cleanse me from every sin. And would you just, if you feel like I want that spotlight on my life, just pray right out after me. And this is the words, the verses of this song. I praise thee, Lord, for cleansing me from sin. Fulfill thy word and make me pure within. fill me with fire.
Where
once I burned with shame.
Grant my desire
to magnify thy name.
Lord, take my life
and make it wholly thine.
Fill my poor heart
with thy great love divine.
Take all my will,
my passion, self, and pride.
I now surrender, Lord.
In me abide.
And let's pray this chorus together.
Search me, O God.
Know my heart today.
Try me, O Savior.
Know my thoughts, I pray.
See if there be
some wicked way in me.
Cleanse me from every sin.
And set me free.
Amen. Lord, that's our prayer today.
We're asking you to search our hearts.
We don't want any taint of our soul or spirit.
Lord, we want to just be pure before you, used of you for your purposes.
Remove all the buildup in our life.
Fill us with your love. Fill us with your spirit.
Help us to be intent about this.
May these truths come to our mind as we go through difficult situations,
that we'll not be tempted to fall back into reaction, but that we, Lord, we could just act the way you want us to act.
Lead and guide all of us, Lord.
We commit this word to our hearts, and we commit our hearts to you.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Amen.